Good morning, world. Morning, Wisconsin. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
Beth Haphagger.
Good morning.
We're joined right now by our great friends over at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
How was your weekend?
Not too bad. How was yours?
Good. It was good. And we're looking forward to the week ahead. Not temperature-wise, but we are looking forward to
weather-wise.
Yeah. What is Mother Nature got planned for us this week, Paul?
Well, if you've been cheering for snow, your cheers will have been heard. It's definitely going to be probably lucky coming up to our snowiest week of the winter, I think we've had this week. Still... Yeah, getting a little bit of action out there today, but the bigger action is going to be starting with a wave of light snow tomorrow night, and then kind of multiple waves from Wednesday evening through Thursday night that could amount to certainly some impressive totals. Looks like the totals from tomorrow night through Thursday could easily exceed a foot. Maybe quite a bit over a foot. It's certainly one of these bigger, long-lived type of lows that's going to blanket us in a pretty deep way here for us as the week goes on. But yeah, today's still looking at just a lighter snow chance, lighter snow here for us. We got a clipper system moving eastward, so we got a little band of light snow building east across Minnesota, across the river in Wisconsin as we get through the midday hours. And we'll watch for that bringing us a passing some light snow, maybe something like the last like a half hour, 45 minutes as we get kind of later midday, more afternoon that. So nothing more than an inch with that. Otherwise, highs to the upper 30s today. And then tonight, looking at about 17 snow shower chance in the evening. And then on Tuesday, cloudy skies, 27, that first chance for light snow. With this bigger system coming in tomorrow night with a low of 21, and some light snow accumulations into Wednesday with that, about 28 on Wednesday. 17 snow Wednesday night, snow Thursday and Thursday night with highs at 22 on Thursday. Winds will also be a problem at times, gust over 30 miles per hour, maybe 40 with some of those gusts as we continue midweek. So a lot to talk about as we get going through this week. And when we talk tomorrow, we should have a better idea of, how the system's going to split up, how much snow kind of each period type of scenario. But it looks like the heaviest of it could fall right now Wednesday night through Thursday. So that could be the heaviest snowfall rates that we see with the system.
Mm. So I have to ask you, Paul, do you like these kind of weeks?
Mm.
Mm. I grew up in the area, in this area, so I do appreciate a snowstorm. As long as I don't have to travel very far.
But as a weather reporter, is it more fun and more entertaining to give these kind of reports?
It does. I mean, it's definitely a more challenge. I mean, you really, it definitely keeps us on our toes, and it's always kind of tough to call the ball, if you will.
Well, we sure appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This is why we have the best in the business join us. Is times of the year like this and everything, getting these live updates week long. We're going to be able to update you how this changes as it goes. Yeah. Appreciate that, Paul. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us a little longer, too. You have a great day.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow, too. No worries there.
Awesome.
Sounds good. Take care, Paul.
Yeah, you too.
Best there is right there. We appreciate our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center joining us. It's going to be one of those weeks, but we kind of knew this was coming.
It'll be interesting.
Has anybody else been like just taking whatever moments you can? I like to play Wisconsin winter trivia or winter bingo.
It's like winter roulette.
There you go. There's
a couple things you'll see in Wisconsin this time, like when we have moments like this in the winter. You're going to have 30-degree weather. You know you're going to see at least one or two people in shorts. That's a given. You're definitely going to see that. You're definitely going to. You're going to see some people, like possibly, I know it sounds weird, maybe like not just grilling outside. I think that we are used to seeing people grilling this time of year and everything outside. Mowing. Like, you will see this. You will see people doing these things.
The
like,
grass is completely visible. It must be mowed.
I'm going to see it.
Yeah.
We've actually, Beth brought over some fun M&Ms about a week or two ago. Yeah. We've been itching to do this. I don't know if you guys want to do this. Let's go ahead and dive into it right now. We're going to do an M&Ms taste test on the air here.
Yeah.
Old radio tradition doing taste tests on the air.
The true question here is, do you have a scissors?
We cannot open the bag. None of us are able to open the bag.
Wait, did it?
Segment's over. Segment's over. Our review of these M&Ms, unattainable.
Yep,
there you go.
The package is pretty. It's a lovely light lavender color.
There you go.
Beth, what kind of M&Ms are those that you brought over?
Like a brownie. They're fudge brownie.
Fudge brownie M&Ms.
We had done a segment on the new flavors that were coming out, and we said, okay, well, let's keep our eyes out. And then it's been a while since we've done a taste test, and I was grocery shopping, and I thought, oh, they've got the new ones out.
Look at how big these are, guys. These are like the size of a peanut M&M.
Whoa, those are big.
They are. They're massive. All right, I'm going to hand these around.
Yeah.
And then
that's a good way to do it.
We also have the crunchy cookie M&M. So we've got two different flavors that we can try here.
Yeah, so on the front of the fudge one. Oh, I didn't know you'd open it. Sorry. On the front of the fudge one, they have like an actual picture of the fudge.
Like a brownie.
Like a bar of brownies.
Let's focus on the fudge ones first, and then we'll get to the next ones. So now one thing that I never understood for all the years in radio, and you guys can go ahead and try them, was when they would do these things and say there was multiple people on the air, all of them would try them at once. So there's all you heard was chewing. I refuse to have that. So I will talk while you guys are trying them, and then I'll try them afterwards and everything. But I am really – I like what Melissa commented right away. They are a lot bigger. These are – bigger than I'm used to.
You know, they don't really taste that much different than regular M&Ms.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But they are bigger. So you get a more chocolate flavor in your mouth. And toward the end, you can kind of get the brownie.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's just a matter of more chocolate. You know, without the casing.
It is a little bit
casing.
Different consistency.
A little bit, because there's just more of it.
It's almost like the peanut butter M&Ms. Have you had the peanut butter ones?
Yes.
So it's almost that kind of a consistency, but it's all chocolate.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Well, and if you look inside, they are darker than a regular M&M inside.
I did not realize that M&Ms, normal M&Ms, have a bit of a fudge taste to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm tasting these, I do taste it, because I don't feel the difference. And I love M&Ms. These are not bad by any means. I don't want to say I'm disappointed, but I was expecting a real fudge taste.
I'm disappointed.
I bit one in half
and looked at the center.
Yeah, me too.
The layer of chocolate M&M that's around, the ratio seems off.
Like it should
because
be more
brownie.
You
can see a little bit of the brownie in the middle, but not enough to really taste the brownie.
Offset the chocolate.
That chocolate overpowers it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's our critique, M&M. You need to change the ratio.
More brownie. If you want to call them fudge brownies.
Yeah.
I like what you said about the ratio. Mm-hmm. You're right about that.
Yeah.
I couldn't place it right away, but I was chewing one right as you were saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Because you do have that little hint of the brownie. I'd rather have more of the brownie than the chocolate if I'm going to buy something that says brownie.
Yeah.
Yes. So. I want to taste brownie.
Right.
Yeah. But next one we have here are the crunchy cookie M&Ms. This is like a bluish bag.
Yeah. Light blue, sky
light
blue.
Light blue, sky blue is good, yeah.
So the first thing I noticed since I spilled them all over the desk here, they're all very irregularly shaped.
Yeah.
They are not
consistent.
Yeah. They're little cookie bits.
And they look to me like, look at how tiny this one is. Mm-hmm. It's itty bitty. These remind you of Sixlets?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Except that they're all exactly the same size.
Yes.
But they're a little bumpy. Like these are a little bumpy, irregular, inconsistent. And I kind of like that.
I do too. I love that they're not all the same size. Not to go on a tangent here in a completely other direction, but was reminded this weekend, we're talking about the candies, the little, you get like a sheet of paper, and it was all those little like dots.
Oh, yeah.
And pulling those things off.
The sugar dot kind of thing.
And you get the little paper in your mouth still.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you didn't care.
Nope.
I don't know what it was.
You get to pick it out of your teeth later.
Yeah. I don't remember what they taste
like
even
candy
tasted
that doesn't
like.
End.
They were nothing but sugar, but they were great. Those things were awesome.
Okay, these are an absolute win in my book.
Yes, absolutely. And the ratio is better.
Yep, they have a nice crunch.
Yep. And that's the thing. These aren't chewy like the brownie ones or the... And I'm trying to figure out what that consistency is. It's almost like a Rice Krispie, but it doesn't taste like a Rice Krispie.
Mm-hmm. They're actually more like a Sixlet consistency almost. Because they have that nice crunch.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have a crunch inside.
Right.
And because they're irregularly shaped... Some of them you get a little more chocolate, some you get a little more crunch. It's kind of more fun to eat that way.
Yeah.
These are easily the most fun M&Ms I've ever eaten. I love M&Ms. These are the most fun I've had with them.
And
because
get the
of
rest
the shape.
Of the bag. Happy birthday.
Yes. Hey. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
The shape is such a big thing to me, but the texture.
Yeah.
I don't know, again, 46 today and just realizing certain things. It's taken me a while, but it's only been in the last year that I've really thought more about this, about how much texture plays into the foods I like and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And even to the point of the candies and different, you know, things that you like and everything. These are good, though. I like these.
Yeah. I think this is a solid, solid win in my book.
Crunchy cookie. Good idea.
Crunchy
I like it.
Well done, M&M.
Yes.
We also wanted to let you know that M&M's announced that not only will purple be featured on their first pack hitting stores in February, so this month, but the pack will contain a brand new flavor, Caramel Cold Brew. The new Caramel Cold Brew M&M's include a bold coffee flavor, chewy caramel, and classic M&M's milk chocolate all coated in a candy shell.
Ooh, I'm here for this one.
I cannot wait to try this one. Yep. Yes, yes, yes.
Keep your eyes out, everybody.
Yep.
I'm such a sucker for any coffee flavored or type of like coffee, like candy. Oh, yeah.
The best thing about going to a coffee shop is when they give you the chocolate covered espresso bean.
Yeah.
On top of whatever
that
you
extra
get.
Little jolt.
Yes.
That a million times with you on this. I don't know if ours here in Rapids does it or not, but I know the Caribou in Illinois that I'd go to. I'm one of those people, especially my time in California, I get burnt out really quick of spending $90 on a cup of coffee. So I was like, I'm not doing this anymore or anything. But Caribou, I do it with, because in part because I can always tell myself, well, I got that chocolate-covered coffee bean. I love that thing so much. They are really good.
The thing not to do, though, is buy like a six-pound bag of them and keep them in your freezer.
Oh.
I mean, you'll have them for a long time, but you have a tendency to eat too many.
I was going to say, I don't know what the shelf life was supposed to be of them, but they did not last for me.
It's like the chocolate-covered craisins, cranberries that you can get here in town. Oh, my gosh.
They're so good. From Ruby Reds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just, you know, but those you can at least, there's fruit in there. It's good for you.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, sure. Right. Well, you know, coffee's supposed to be good for you, too, so.
Well, yes.
and too much of any good thing is a bad thing.
Yes,
we're
going to
try something here, you guys.
Okay, all right.
Real quick, because hang on a second here. Hey, Nick, you there?
Hey, what's up, bro?
Hey, my little brother Nicholas is calling me on the phone here while I'm doing my morning show.
I love it.
I've been doing this job for 20-some years, and my brother calls me of all times of the day to call me. No, I had to put you on the spot, Nick. Hey, thank you very much for calling.
Mason and I woke up late, so it's my birthday to start the morning.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mace. Thank you. Appreciate you both. Thanks, guys. I will talk with you a little later. I just had to do this on live on the air, though. I had to.
Sounds good.
Love you. Love you, too. Later, brother.
Yay.
That was awesome.
Hey, Mason. I see what he did there. He must have thought it was like around 6 or something like that. Because my brother and sister are so good about that stuff. They're the best. You couldn't ask for better siblings. We will go to break right here. We will come back talking some birthdays as we have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Happy birthday to the best radio bro in the business. Yeah, that's right, Seth.
Happy birthday, James. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Happy birthday, Vincenzo. Wishing you a wonderful year ahead.
So what makes today special? You. Happy birthday, James. Try not to act up too much.
I'm William Shatner. I've done a lot of things in my career, but this takes the cake. This is so cool. You, James, today... it's all about you. You were born today. It's your birthday. It's exciting. It makes me want to celebrate.
James, you cheeky sausage. You're a big boy now. just celebrate with a hip, a hop, and a big bop booby doody dog.
Happy birthday, bro. Hope you didn't mind too much. It was a lot of fun to put together.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear James. Happy birthday to you.
Now pull yourself together.
I got nothing. I didn't see that coming. William Shatner? Was that?
Yeah, that was William Shatner.
Oh man, that was really. thank you. Thank you. I don't know what else to say. I'm red. I am trying to put some tears out of my eyes, and I'm trying to focus on my job now. But I don't like this feeling. I don't like it. I don't want to feel this way, but I am incredibly thankful for the moment. Thank you. I'm going to move on. I got nothing. That was incredible. I cannot wait to talk to you guys more off air about how the process of putting that together.
Seth is amazing.
He is.
It's really incredible. That was really sweet. Thank you all so very much. I'm just incredibly humbled and appreciative. We got more important people to celebrate today, though. Let's get to the celebrating. And first up, we want to, of course, wish a very happy good morning start to the week to our friends at Misty's Menu. They are open right now. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin. And Rapids. When you get there, make sure that you wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. And I wanted you also to keep in mind that Misty's is going to have some interesting hours the next couple of weeks, or over the next month or so. Mm-hmm. They'll be closed Wednesdays and Thursdays in February in the first 3 weeks of March. They'll be closed February 25th to March 5th. They will resume normal hours beginning the week of March 20th.
Yes.
So keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. We have 7 possible qualifiers today.
Wow.
Everybody. Yeah.
Awesome.
Told you. We got more people
this is
to celebrate.
Awesome day.
It's yeah. Like a lot of good ones right here. So, Beth, I'm going to need you to give me a 1 through 7.
Let's go with bucket number 7.
All right. That gives us our qualifiers so we can get right into this celebrating here. And first up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Nate Porter.
Happy birthday, Nate.
Have a great one, Nate. We hope it's a good day for you. We also want to wish a happy birthday to Brian Hansen.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Larry Barthels.
Happy birthday, Larry.
And a very happy anniversary, 52nd anniversary.
Wow.
Nice.
Ross and Linda Lou Miller.
Happy anniversary.
Ross and Linda Lou. Congratulations.
Happy 52nd, you guys. That's a great one. And then we want to wish a very happy birthday to Sarah Krause.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Sarah's worked in a couple of WRCT plays.
Okay.
We were blown away when we found out we had the same birth. It was one of those things. It was kind of weird. The YouTube. It's like the Spider-Man meme. YouTube. And also somebody that same type of situation had happened, Cameron Kwitarski.
Happy birthday.
Many of our listeners remember Cameron. She was our Visit Rome guide. Incredible in the business and moved on to do some other things and everything. Wish her and her family the best. Mm-hmm. Great human being. And we also want to wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Bo Saplina.
Happy birthday, Bo. Congratulations.
Have a great day, Bo. Happy birthday and congratulations to you, sir. Hope it's a great one for you. Mm-hmm. I do want to send a big thank you to Pam. She has drum roll. Our very own James Bailiff. That's very nice. That's very sweet, Pam. Thank you for that. And honestly, thank you all. I'm extremely humbled right now. I don't even know what to say. Celebrating birthdays today, really, Rihanna. I mean, that's it. That's the only one I'm going to mention. Rihanna's 35 today, everybody. Happy 35th to Rihanna. Wow. A happy 39th birthday to Trevor Noah.
Oh, really?
Former Daily Show host. He is off, I believe he's going to be focusing a little bit more on stand-up right now. Mm. So that's probably where we'll see him next. Justin Verlander is 40 today, currently pitching for the New York Mets.
Wow.
He's married to Kate Upton. He's also one of the greatest starting pitchers I've ever seen. Like, mm-hmm. He is a throwback. He's one of these guys can still give you 9 innings if you want. He had Tommy John surgery, and most guys don't come back from that very well. He won a Cy Young. after that. Like, Justin Verlander, one of the greater pitchers I've ever seen. I love his attitude, too. He's a great interview. Let's see here. Chelsea Peretti is 45. She's Gina on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's also married to Jordan Peele.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Cindy Crawford is 57 today.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Supermodel.
Yeah, yeah. French Stewart is a 59.
Really?
Yeah. You know, most people would know him from Third Rock from the Sun, but he's had a couple of other good roles and stuff, too.
He is very
diverse. Love that show.
Yeah.
One of the greatest to ever do it, Mr. Charles Barkley, is 60 years old today. The only reason Charles Barkley is not celebrated even more as an athlete is because he was around when Michael Jordan was and Hakeem Olajuwon and some of these other guys. But Charles Barkley was a walking double-double. Like, man will get you the rebounds, the points, everything you needed, and probably a fight or two.
Good to have in your corner.
Yeah. Let's see here. Patty Hearst is 69. Wow. Sandy Duncan is 77.
Sandy Duncan?
Wow.
And then some people no longer with us, like the, again, I've said this before, and I will always say it, especially on this day, it's either him or Cary Grant, if you ask me who the greatest actor I've ever seen was. Sidney Poitier, born this day, 1927, passed away in 2022. I encourage every single one of my students to watch a Sidney Poitier film. It's not homework, but I strongly encourage them to. And I have never had a student come back and say, oh, that was a waste of time or anything. Every one of them comes back and, man, did you see this movie? Yes, I've seen them all. So did you see what he did? Yes, I've seen them.
Now you know.
It's like when you, I think one of one of the funnest things about friendship or anything like that is when you share new music with people or you share music with people. It's very similar to that when they come back to you and they're like, whoa, this band is amazing. Like, this guy is amazing. Yeah, I told you. This is incredible. The late, great Kurt Cobain, born this day in 1967, passed away way too young in 1994. Incredible singer, songwriter. Kind of got turned into a, for lack of a better word, a mascot of mental health and of the 90s and so many things. Mm-hmm. And we still haven't really combed through not only what he went through and what brought him to his final decision, but his work. Like, it seems like, unfortunately, when these things happen, the moment or the loss is always tied to the music.
Right.
But I was fortunate enough, like you guys and many people out there, to be around before he passed, of course, and to get to appreciate his music in the moment, in real time, while all that was going on. To all the fans out there of hair metal and all that, more power to you, nothing against it. Wasn't my thing. I needed grunge. Like, I needed this music. And it was game-changing for many of us. A guy that could go from writing silly lyrics to also writing some really important, insightful lyrics. A man who was way ahead of his time as far as where we see a lot of people now with open-mindedness and understanding and a lot of these things. He was an incredibly... incredibly feeling human being. And an incredible artist.
Yes.
Speaking of incredible artists, also born on this day, Walter Becker, born in 1950, passed away in 2017, co-founder, co-songwriter, guitarist, and bassist for Steely Dan. Walter Becker, incredible artist, almost a perfect at what he would do anytime you would hear him on a song. But apparently, patience of a saint, because he worked with Donald Fagen forever. And Donald Fagen is not an easy man to work with. And one more for you, John Jerome Giles. Born on this day in 1946, passed away in 2017. Of course, the leader of the J. Giles Band. And one more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to everybody out there celebrating. Big happy birthday to Nate Porter. Happy birthday to Brian Hansen, to Larry Barthels, to Sarah Krauss, to Cameron Kortarski. Happy anniversary to Ross and Linda Lou Miller. Happy 52nd, you two. And a happy birthday to our qualifier today, Bo Saplina.
Yes. Happy birthday and anniversary, everybody. Go get your free pie.
Head on over to Misty's. They're open today. Get on over to Misty's. And real quick, a big shout out to the best co-hosts and partners in this industry, all of you guys. That was a really, really sweet, nice thing to do. Revenge is coming. thank you. I'm humbled, and I appreciate all of you so darn much. We will go ahead here. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, and when we do... where was this? I want, yeah, Facebook is up to something I want to get into. I don't think it's very kosher. We'll touch on that and some other stuff coming up on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Hope you're having a good start to your Monday. Thanks for kicking it off with us, Beth, Melissa, James, and Deborah Harry. We're going to get some fun stuff here. I'm still red. I don't like this. Is this day over yet?
No.
It's just starting, James.
Going to dive into something here. We got a bit of entertainment news a little bit later we'll get into, but I do want to, because we have the kitchens open and other things, I don't want to take too much time in entertainment today like we do on Mondays. So I wanted to get this story in a little bit early. I was going to fit it in over there, but Elon Musk did this a few months ago and everyone piled on, but it looks like at least one person liked the idea. Mark Zuckerberg.
Uh-oh.
Facebook just announced they're adding a paid verification option, just like Twitter's.
Oh.
But instead of a blue check mark, you'll get a blue badge. It's called Meta Verified. They're testing it in Australia and New Zealand this week. The plan to roll it out to more countries soon. The web version costs $12, or it's $15 if you want it through your phone app. That's compared to $8 or $11 for Twitter's blue. But Zuck's version covers you on Facebook as well as Instagram. Oh, well, geez, take my money. You have to verify your identity with a government ID. So just like with Twitter, it's supposed to add more protection and keep people from impersonating you. You also get direct access to Facebook's customer support, which some people say is the only part worth paying for. But Facebook thinks the verification stuff will be useful, especially for influencers and businesses and to people that need that ego rush of having a blue check mark or a blue badge.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I ever really like, the first thing that I liked about social media was, oh, this is free. Oh, right. Well, that's cool. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, that seems fair. That seems a good way to do this. I could see this doing well. And that was with MySpace. When all these other apps, all these other things started to blow up, the thing I kept coming back to was that first original thought. Well, it is free. I mean, you know, I get a little bent out of shape sometimes with people when they get angry about things that are free. Like, this should be that it's free. Like, come on, man. I mean it's, what are you complaining about here? What, you want your money back? You want your free back? Like, it's free. You know, how much can you complain when something is free? The part that I really don't like that has happened, and we've all discovered, and this happened a long time ago, was, oh, wait, this isn't free. They're mining our information. Mm-hmm. They are taking something from us. Mm-hmm. It's just not dollars and cents.
Right.
That part of things. So now, along with all that garbage, and we're all, like, there are very few of us that aren't on a thin line with social media or with these apps and everything, of just the point of, like, I'm done with this, and everybody being Seth and just not having it.
Right.
Now they want to try to charge you for proving who you are.
Well,
think of
that.
And that's
the thing. You
have to pay to prove you are who you are.
With all the spoofing that's going on out there, this should be a free service of that, to be able to verify that you are who you say you are. You shouldn't have to pay for that.
Is this going to do anything to crack down on the anonymous Facebook groups out there that are putting and peddling misinformation?
No.
Because if it was, I would pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's what's happening on Twitter, is it?
No. Twitter's gotten worse. Twitter always was the Wild West. It's turned into the Dark Ages. Because I use Twitter for the information. If you go onto the trending, go onto these, whether people like it or not, this is where a lot of information breaks, is Twitter. So being in the news game, I follow Twitter. I go on there and check the trending things and stuff. And since Elon Musk has took over, anti-Semitism is almost always trending on there. Oh, and I, of course, because of my job, I have to click on these things. And every time I'm on there, I'm seeing you people are this, you people are that, and all this stuff and everything. The hate on that app has increased 20,000 fold. Like, wow. And the amount of anti-Semitism that I get in DMs and all that has way increased. Like, I don't even, if it's a name I don't recognize or anything on Twitter, I don't barely ever check it. Like, I could have tons of people trying, like agents and different people trying to get a hold of me and everything. And I'll check it later. I'll look at it a little different. There's the rise of hate where I shouldn't say that, because I think that there's always been that hate. It's just now people have these cowards have a keyboard in front of them and they are emboldened to say things that they would never say to my face or say to your face or anything like that. Like, I almost have more respect for that. You know, the people that will call me these names and call me these things in front of my, into my face. Like, I'm not saying a lot of respect, but I have a tiny bit more respect for that than I do these keyboard cowards.
Well, because that at least is an opportunity to have a conversation that could be beneficial.
Yeah.
For both sides. Because, I mean, even though it's hate coming at you, maybe there's something that happened in their past or something that happened in their history that they don't understand fully. And it gives you an opportunity to have that conversation with them about it. But this misinformation that's happening on Facebook, we've been talking about it for a long time. What do we refer to them as? Armchair Facebook doctors and, you know, people just spouting opinions. There's a ridiculous amount of our society that only gets their news from Facebook.
Well, people want to have influence without accountability. And that's what Facebook and Twitter have been able to give them. And it's become normalized and accepted in society in some ways. It shouldn't be, but that's what it is.
Well, and then the sad and scary thing is that they take it as absolute fact and truth and then just fly with it.
Right.
So what good is, okay, so this anonymous group on Facebook that wants to bash some local politician that's running and tear them down because they're not who they want in office, but they can put out as much misinformation and whatever they want. And if they've got now that little blue check mark beside it, what is that going to do now? Is that upping their credibility?
Yeah, there's no, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, there's no signs of, because people have already done this on Twitter where it's not so-and-so, and they have the blue check mark, and then it makes it look like they are. Or they use like when they're typing in their name, they will put a blue check mark, like an
emoji or symbol
or something like that. Yeah, that kind of thing.
And if you're not, like, aware and carefully watching.
This is, you don't get to open, hey, I'm going to open a daycare, but what I'm going to do is I'm just going to open the doors. Okay, you go ahead and let the kids go in there and they do whatever they want in there and everything like that. And then I'll shut the doors at a certain time of day and night and everything. And that's my daycare. How many people are going to use that daycare?
Right.
Like, this idea of I created this app. I created this whole thing, but I'm not taking any responsibility for the stuff that happens on that app. That's on you. That's human error. That's human ability. You know, you guys need to take care of that. But if you want me to do something, I'll do it if you pay me. Like that's how ridiculous is this? How borderline insane is it to do that? If I started a company and I told you this, this is my daycare. You guys can bring your kids here and everything, but I'm not taking any responsibility for anything that goes on in that building. That's not my job. I opened the building. I created the building. That's enough. You guys can go ahead and run game and all that stuff in there. Do whatever you want. Like, it's ridiculous. Then on top of it, to ask people to pay to prove who they are when it's your responsibility. It's your app. I'm all about personal responsibility. I think we need to be bringing that up more and more in society, because apparently a lot of people out there don't seem to know what personal responsibility is. This is not part of that. You're on that app. You should have the ability to be able to use stuff and take in information and be able to, I'm not saying like take it verbatim, no matter who the information source, I don't care if it's God telling you something, look it up nowadays. But my gosh, I mean, at the very least, don't make people pay to prove who they are and do your job. Your job is not just to open the doors. It's to make sure that when people are inside your building, they're safe. You go to a grocery store. Are there people in the checkout lanes? Are there people doing this? Are there people doing that? There's all kinds of stuff going on in there. Like, they do this, and yeah, you got algorithms and computer, you know, operators and coders and all those things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual stuff that goes on in your building. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have to take responsibility. You have to own that stuff. I also think, though, we're skating past something, because Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, you know, they're just trying to make a living, just make a couple extra bucks. Yeah. They're just people trying to get by. Let me, I should look into how much these guys make and everything, because maybe they need this money. Oh my God, no, they don't. No, they don't need the money.
Mm-mm. No.
So this is just another way to nickel and dime you.
They're playing on the fact that people don't want to put in the work themselves to double check everything, to verify the information that they see on there.
Well, because it's easy not to.
Right.
And sometimes those things that you read, they make you angry. Mm-hmm. And anger is a strong motivator.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how many people use this, how long this will go, and what happens, you know, with more of these things going forward. And little by little, more and more people are going off of these apps, and more people are getting away from them. And I wonder how much more people are going to take before it's like, you know what? I'll just email my relatives. I don't need to talk to them on Facebook. You know what? I'll put my birthdays in my darn phone so I can remember them. Like, these little tiny things that we kind of get, like, I can't speak for other people, but I know almost on a daily basis, it's kind of like, do I really need that? Do I really need this page? Right? And I do. Like, as an actor, this is part of our brand nowadays. No actor in the world doesn't have a social media account unless you don't plan on acting anymore.
Right.
But even I'm like, do I really, really need this? Well, it's getting to a point.
The way that it has gone, I mean, we've all kind of watched it. It's like watching a train wreck. Yeah. You can't look away. It's horrible and terrible and awful, but we're all still here for the party.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And eventually, I mean, some of us are leaving and some of us never joined. Mm-hmm. But I do think that this is kind of the beginning of the end for them. If not the beginning, we're in the starting stages of, because, like you said, the increase in hate, the Wild West, whatever goes. Who, I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do. And what's kind of funny is what they're going to be left with is all these bots that spread like information and things like that, and all these keyboard cowards, and they're just going to devour each other. Like, that's all that'll be left on social media. That and a handful of people who don't know how to delete their app or don't know how to, and they're just going on social media just posting that. How do you delete this? How do you, like, that's
why am
it.
I still getting notifications?
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Get some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. And when we get back at 9 o'clock, after CBS News is done doing its thing and informing you, we will have the kitchens open. Got a really special episode for today. Looking forward to that. Be sure to join us about 9:04 for the kitchens open. Got one right here for us I wanted to dive into. In a new poll, people were asked if they think the U.S. will have a female president in their lifetime. And 56% said yes, 17% said no, and the other 27% said they're not sure. When asked which party, 41% said that they think the first female president will be a Democrat, and 21% think she'll be Republican. 45% of seniors over the age of 65 expect to see a female president in their lifetime.
Wow.
I think
that is a really cool stat right there, which implies that they think it could happen sooner than later, or just that they plan to live another 50 years. Either way, that's great to see, and we want our seniors around. So there's a bunch to dissect with this, I feel like. Let's start here, though, with you two. When in your lifetime, do you think in your lifetimes you'll see a female president, Melissa?
Yes.
Okay. Beth?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But I am doubtful.
I like that part of it. I like that we're talking about this. I think that it's hard, no matter how you talk about these things or how you look at these things or how much hope or how much negativity you have in you, it's hard not to, well, no matter, we've had a nice discussion about this and all, but let me take a look at every president we've had so far. Let me see. And, oh, okay. Only one of these things doesn't look like the others. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Every single other one of these guys, it looks exactly the same, mm-hmm. except for one guy. So on that census, if you're just looking at that, you're like, well, I don't know if it's when or if it's going to happen, you know, and then you see society and you see the society's getting better, getting open minded about these things, all this stuff. And then you look at, well, wait a minute, rate of pay, or you look at this or you look at that. And yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get too hopeful.
And I would invite you to let's jump forward. Let's say 50 years, because as we all know, they don't fully dissect what happened during a person's presidency until far after it's over.
Right. Yeah.
Because what took place during their administration has long lasting effects,
yeah.
and they're not seen until years, decades down the road. Sometimes, mm-hmm. now if we step back and look at what happened most recently here in the presidency, you'll see we took a step forward, and then, in my opinion, we took a giant step back. Mm-hmm. Now, in my opinion, again, I think we will have a woman president. Whether or not that female person is going to fully reflect the women in this mm-hmm. country, mm-hmm. that's where I have my doubts. Mm. And I wonder if, again, because optics play such a huge yep. part in politics, if we'll have said female president, but then we'll also potentially be taking a step backwards with that. I don't want that to be the case, but I wonder.
I'm trying to think of, because Hillary is a bit up there. I don't think she'll be running again anytime soon mm-hmm. or anything like that. And I'm trying to think of the women that could possibly run. And one of the names that popped in my head, while she wouldn't, she's not really a politician herself, but she has been in she's been in the public eye a lot, and she's spent 8 years in the White House, and Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the thought popped in my head, another part popped right also in my head. If you stand those two next to each other, Barack and Michelle, what's one of the first things you're going to notice? And I'm going to be walking in some area here that I am coming to from all my African-American friends and different people that I've talked to about this over the years. There's one of the reasons why Barack got elected and you didn't see a guy like Yaphet Kotto elected. Lighter-skinned brown man. Mm. Michelle, a bit darker. Mm-hmm. If you are going to see an African-American woman, I highly doubt that she will be. She won't be mulatto. I will guarantee that if it is a woman and she is ethnic, it'll probably be mulatto. It will not be a full-fledged, you know, darker-skinned African-American woman. I have a hard time believing that will happen. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time believing a feminist will be elected. I think that a woman mm-hmm. that does get elected that has to push through that glass ceiling would almost have to be Republican. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like it.
And unfortunately, I think you're right.
And I don't think, to me, that's not unfortunate or fortunate, because I'm not going to judge them on their party. I'm just looking at this as if we want to actually see this happen. I don't know if a Democratic female is going to be elected. I don't know. I don't know if that's a possibility.
The near future.
In the near future. Oh, I'm talking like this upcoming presidential election. That's mm-hmm. all I'm focusing on. In the next 10, 20 years or something like that, anything's possible. I think that I believe in the American people. Mm-hmm. I believe mm-hmm. in people, and I believe that people get things done, especially when politicians don't. And I think that the chickens are coming home to roost more and more with every election. Mm-hmm. And with every election, we are getting closer and closer to why are we deciding between two parties? Let me decide between the people. I honestly believe, genuinely, maybe it's one of the last bits of naivety I have, that we will be having ranked choice voting in this country.
I was just going to say that, Jane. That read my mind.
At any point. And I bring it up all the time. I will ring this bell as long as I can, because I've studied democracy my whole life. I've come from a political family. And this, nothing has ever made more sense to me in politics mm-hmm. than ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that I've seen in my whole life that it makes more sense of. Well, why are we deciding between parties when I should just be focusing on the person?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what they stand for, what their policies are.
You had politicians openly saying, I don't like Herschel Walker, but I'll vote for him because he's Republican.
Right.
Like, they were open, like, blazingly saying this like it was a joke, like it was funny or something, like it's okay.
These are not sporting teams.
No.
Well, and how many people say, I'm voting for the lesser of two evils?
You hear that a lot, too.
Absolutely. And we shouldn't be voting for the lesser of anything. We should be voting for the person that we think is going to be the best in that office.
And that's going to represent what the people want.
Yes.
And now I do want to say what I said before was very pragmatic. But looking ahead, I also think this is a stepping stone toward getting in a better place.
Well, I think the challenge that we face, and there are many careers that this is the case, is there is such a cultural association with the gender in that office that it's hard to break that. I mean, it's something that in my career I've faced, and you would think in this day and age it would be a no-brainer that women could do just about any job. But even with what I do, I get judged, and I get told that I should not be doing what I'm doing because I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, that's not your choice to make.
No.
And so, but there's that constant association. We've only had men. Since the time that this country was founded, we've only had men. That's a man's job. No, it is a human being's job, and we should be electing whoever the best human being is to fill that job.
Yes, and we should have changing tables in men's restrooms.
Yes.
Well said, both of you. Both of you, very well said. I do think that I know in moments when it gets a little heavy, when it just seems like, oh, God, this is just the worst our political spectrum has ever been and things like that, I am reminded that we are a teenager of a country,
mm-hmm.
and we are going through growing pains.
And it's darkest before the dawn.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and look at all the cultural shifts that have happened in more established countries.
Yeah.
They've not been the same throughout their entire existence. And we are, I think, and for better or for worse, we're starting to go through that shift here. And it'll be interesting to see in 50 years what that shift is going to look like when we mm-hmm. get there.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting looking world, I'm sure. I do think, too, it's hopeful that we can, and I shouldn't say hopeful, I think it's noteworthy that we are on a national broadcast station, that we are being streamed to, all over the internet right now. We got people listening all over the world mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And we're having this discussion here in this country, and we can. We can have this discussion in this country. Yeah. I don't think that part should be lost on us either. That no matter who's in office, Republican, Democrat, no matter what, that we can have these kind of open conversations and dialogue, that we can hold our politicians accountable and treat them like the way we should, like they're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Like that part, I think, is something to hold on to, too.
And we also need to be able to hold corporations responsible.
Absolutely.
For like what happened in Ohio.
Well, I will come back to this, and I brought it up with every politician I've interviewed. I would love to see an amendment where, okay, we're not going to get the money out of politics, but how about for every congressman, every senator, every person that's up there, whether it's on their blazer or their lapel of their dress or whatever, mm-hmm. I want to see everybody that's putting in their campaign.
Like NASCAR. Yep.
I want to see NASCAR. Yep. Yeah, if NASCAR could do it, why can't these guys
exactly.
do it? I mean, I don't see any problem with that. And mm-hmm. they should have nothing to hide. If I'm giving them money, go ahead and put a little, you know, James logo up there.
I mean,
or
they do it during, you know, endorsed by.
Yep.
You can find the information for some of them.
At the very least, you know who's in their pocket and who you're voting for, because it's no longer, oh, I'm voting for this person or that person. I'm voting for this company, that company.
Yep.
I'm voting for this organization, that organization. That's what I'm voting in office. I'm not just voting in this person and their ideas. I'm voting in this corporation, that organization, mm-hmm. and those mm-hmm. things. And that's not what I voted for. I didn't vote for that. I voted for the person.
Right.
Let's see how this goes. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And after CBS News and a weather update, we'll have the kitchens open for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.